You're listening to Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. We are going solo today, and I'm calling this next story, Why Does Roger Valdez Feel Lonely?
So this is your place?
Yeah, it's a pretty small lot that they tucked this building into, and you can tell it's pretty consistent with the apartment brand.
Valdez is a lot of things. He's an advocate for density, for one. A lot of people would call him a lobbyist for developers, and in fact, a lot of people would have less kind words for him. He's a little polarizing. But one thing about Roger, he walks his talk. He lives in an apartment brand microhousing unit in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood.
Just don't have any particular use for.
I love having this up here because it's kind of nice to have a little overflow.
The tour did not take long. The whole thing is less than 300 square feet, if you include the loft. But to be honest, Valdez hardly uses the loft. He doesn't seem to need that extra space, I guess.
I get my old view back. If I lost it completely to a solid blank wall, I'd be pretty upset. And right over there is another.
The ceilings are high, which makes it feel bigger than it is. It's a little like a studio apartment tipped on its end. And all this goes along with Valdez's whole worldview. Fewer detached houses, smaller carbon footprint. But it might be surprising that a guy who thinks we should all be living shoulder to shoulder also luxuriates in being lonely. That's actually part of the whole story of how he got here. Valdez lived with his wife for years in a normal-sized apartment, but they split up, and it seemed like a good time for him to move into the kind of housing he advocates for. In a micro-apartment, you can't escape your own aloneness.
This was a great opportunity moving here to be able to, like, say, okay, I'm going to do it myself. And it was sort of like, yeah, I live in one. Because when people criticized it and said, you know, these are too small, they're inhuman, they're cages or whatever, I could say, I love mine. And so it was both, I think, a statement about being prepared to live in a place that I thought should be built for people, but also to not take up so much space. Because I live alone, I have a tremendous sense of it feels like very roomy to me. And I feel like because I am the kind of person that spends more time out of my house or my apartment, that I don't need a lot of extra space for lounging around or storing things or whatever. I've never been the kind of person that's had, you know, like a lot of furniture or whatever. I've never had, you know, a lot of things. And whenever I think about, like, what do I need? You know, it's very, very minimal. Like, if I really came down to it, like, what do you absolutely need? If that place was burning down, what would you take, you know?
Do you always think you would have been comfortable in a place like this? Or did something change in your life that made this a better fit?
You know, my marriage ended at the end of 2013, and my wife and I used to live about probably 2.5-3 blocks away from here. When I moved in with her, it was, you know, I didn't bring a lot of my own stuff. So when I left and I saw this going up, it was brand new. I was like, this is perfect because I can literally walk down the street. I'm still in the same neighborhood and I'm good. You know, it's not going to change anything. I'm not having to commute different. It's this, all the same stuff. When a relationship breaks up, oftentimes when it's finally over and you move out, you kind of get that excitement of like, wow, I'm going to get into a new place and I get to do whatever I want. Moving in here, it was really fun. It was great. I felt excited about it. This is probably the first time I've really lived alone for almost 20 years or something like that. I think loneliness is something that I've, for the first time, kind of encountered in the last couple of years. Living alone, one doesn't have that obligation to be somewhere or a feeling of someone's coming back or the expectation of, you know, well, I'll get a chance to talk to this person at the end of the day. What I found is I was sort of shocked, like, oh, that's what that is.
How is feeling lonely different from being alone?
There's a French writer named Roland Barthes. He has a book called Lover's Discourse, and he talks about, you know, you're in love when you're waiting. And I think loneliness is like that. It's like a feeling of you're waiting for something to happen when you're in love. You're waiting for that person to show up and they're 15 minutes late and you're the one waiting and you feel vulnerable and you feel kind of hanging out there. But loneliness is having that same feeling, but nobody's coming. There's nobody on their way.
Do you think that loneliness and aloneness get a bad rap?
Yeah, I do. I mean, in order to really enjoy being with someone, you have to be able to be alone with them. And that's something that I realized in the last couple of years too, is that being alone together is a real litmus test for me, I think, in the end of what you need to be able to do, not just with another individual, but in the community.
It seems like there might be a contradiction between valuing aloneness and even loneliness, and also advocating living very close together with a lot of other people.
It is a peculiar thing, and I've struggled with that a lot. There's a line in Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. He talks about it, in every city, behind every window is a beating heart and a story and a drama going on. And I think that being in a city is a very lonely experience in some ways, because there's so many people, but they're all strangers. And so the multiplicity and the number of people that are strange and that you don't know can, I think, add to a sense of loneliness. But on the other hand, I think the advantages of that are that it creates both an opportunity to see and be seen. You know, you become part of something anonymously in a way that I think is very comforting for people, to be part of a bigger throbbing kind of entity. Is very comforting.
Is there some ritual that you have, or something that you just like to do to go and feel part of a community?
I mean, I have my favorite coffee shops, and I think if you went, I'm one of those people that's a regular. If I go to Joe Bar, which is up the street from here, they're like, "Hey, Roger, how's it going? You want the regular?" Or, you know, there's a real strong sense of community that comes from just being kind of just hanging out in public places and getting to know the people that work there and them getting to know you. And it's not a real deep thing, but I think that you do get a sense that, well, at least somebody knows that I'm alive and that I exist.
And they might notice, like, if you took a spill on that ladder.
I don't know about that, but I think there's something really important in the idea that in a city you can be seen, but still be anonymous or alone. It's how we are. We hate being alone, but there's also a part of us that hates being, kind of put on the spot. So I think cities have a unique opportunity to do both of those things.
I guess this is kind of an obvious question, but you don't strike me as a person for whom aloneness is part of your public persona, right? Like, you are out there in the media, you have a political career, you are an advocate, a communicator, you are mixing it up in public all the time. It might surprise some people to know that you're a person who values being alone and even values loneliness.
I think many people who have public lives, in the end, you'd be surprised how much you'd find them kind of just sitting by themselves in an airport or something, kind of doing a crossword puzzle. And you think, where's all the people that should be around them? And I've always been a person that enjoys being with other people, but I also like to be alone.
Well, Roger Valdez is an advocate, a lobbyist, a communicator, and a dweller in a micro housing unit. That's where we talked, here in the loft of his unit in Capitol Hill. Thank you so much for inviting me in and for sharing your story.
Oh, thank you for coming.